Burası Ahval. Doğru haberciliğin ve özgür yorumların odak noktası. Podcast yayınımıza hoş geldiniz.
Hello and welcome to Hot Pursuit, part of Ahval video and podcast series. Today my guest is my dear colleague from North Cyprus, Hasan Kahvecioğlu. Hasan, welcome.
Hi, Yavuz.
We are here to
greetings from Cyprus.
We are here to talk about the recent developments. A visit called Picnic in Varosha. This was the name of the the label about Turkish President Erdogan's visit yesterday, Sunday, November 15, related with the anniversary of the foundation North Republic. But it's far beyond that. It was only a pretext for this visit. The messages, the choreography of the visit, and everything around it, the rhetoric, the speeches, and the whole vision that we saw, of course, is important to talk about. Because my first question would be to you, of course, what happened during that day, yesterday, Sunday, November 15, and then later on, perhaps we should talk about whether or not this is a game changer or turning point for North Cyprus. In what ways, if yes? So, I am all ears.
Dear Yavuz, as you said, what we have witnessed yesterday is completely a comedy, let me say. Completely a show, but it has, of course, in its messages to the world from Erdogan, directly from Erdogan. And he declared again, once more, he declared that he is the man in charge regarding Cyprus issue. He is the man in charge regarding Varosha issue. So this was completely a declaration that Erdogan from now on will be more powerful on this soil, unfortunately, will has more power in our even internal politics, and he will run the complete project alone with his authority and elected Tatar will be the obedient servant for this project. We saw it yesterday very, very clearly.
Tell us about it.
The project is, as you know, from the beginning. The first aim was to get rid of Mr. Akinci. They achieved this as the first step.
Mustafa Akinci is the former president for our viewers, and he was also a contender in the presidential race, and he lost to Tatar. Yes.
Yes, you are right. And after this, that now they have, Mr. Erdogan has his own obedient servant, in my words, that is ready to work together with Erdogan, to be his servant in his actions, in his ideas, whatever it is. They showed together yesterday this thing, and you can see from the pictures, from the videos, all this energy between them. So, as I said before, the project at the beginning was to get rid of, they succeed. Second thing is directly to control the local administration. I mean, the ruling party, which Tatar was the president until 18th of October. After Tatar appointed, let me say, to the new post, and he became the president, UBP, the ruling party, went to the General Assembly to choose a new leader for the party. But unfortunately, first round held in Nicosia, and two candidates, the delegates decided to give the chance to two candidates to run for the second term. And in the middle of the week, they canceled the General Assembly. So here on this soil now, there is no cabinet, there is no government, there is no prime minister. It is completely in a chaos. So the first aim was to get rid of Makinji, but the second one was to choose one leader for the ruling party to serve like Ersin Tatar, not to be a different man and not to be someone who is not listening to Erdogan. So when they saw that these two candidates, they are not eligible to work with Erdogan, they canceled the General Assembly. This was another game, the second game. So the third one was the Varosha issue. The Marash-Varosha issue was completely, as you know, a new game just to show the world or EU, especially to EU, that I have a tool and from now on I will use this tool when you do anything against Turkey or about Turkey. It's very important because
the mainland Turkey, you mean? The mainland,
of course, mainland Turkey. I'm talking about Erdogan. Erdogan is the man who shows from 18th of October that he will use Cyprus, I mean the northern part of Cyprus, as a tool in his hands for everything. It is his very new tool for all his international relations that can be used. And he's showing this very, very to make a picnic in Varosha was completely a provocative action. And the message was very clear. Here in Cyprus, I can do whatever I want. I will help to Turkish Cypriots. I will build them, you know, hospitals. They will be under my control. And if things are developed, one day, in his mind, I believe this, that annexation will be in his agenda.
That's in his mind.
It shows it. He shows this. Because if you have a tool in your hands to use it against Europe, to use it against UN, to use it against even USA, I think you are ready to show some other threats to this international community. So, unfortunately, the other diverse scenario is that this part of the island maybe one day can be used as a threat for annexation.
Bargaining chip or threat.
Of course, bargaining chip or some in any way, because you know the style of Erdogan to bargaining everything. But now I can say that Cyprus, northern part of Cyprus, is his new tool. He discovered this very lately because there was Mr. Akinci there. He was supporting federal solution based on equality, political equality. And he was very, not very active in our local politics because of these principles, because of our constitution, because of our laws. But now he became completely free to do everything. Because after Akinci, when he started to interfere into the ruling parties, even in the party relations, and he changed the whole structure, and there is no any voice from this party. There is no any voice to say Please don't do it for us. We are a small country. We have this structure for many years, and we don't want to, you know, to ruin this Anglo-Saxon judicial system and all the party system. Ruined everything. Mm-hmm. Now, the stage that we came, there is no any elected leader of ruling party. UBP, there is no partner for him, and even there is another man, the secretary general of this party, who is trying to form a new coalition with right-wing parties, and their numbers are not enough in the parliament. There are only 25. Despite this, they are keeping, he is keeping this power in his hands, I mean this role in his hands, and now the situation, even in the politics, in local politics, there is no way out. I don't know what can I say.
I understand that there is now, even after this visit, the political crisis is escalating. This is what I understand. But let's stay at the visit itself. First, when Erdogan mentioned the term picnic in Varoufakis, he said, we will do it, we will visit North Cyprus together with my ally, Devlet Bahçeli, the chairman of the ultra-nationalist MHP party. But Bahçeli was not with him. Do we know why he did not join Erdogan during his visit?
No, he was here. Bahçeli was here. He came with a separate plane, and Mr. Erdogan's plane used on for his. He had a huge numbers of MPs with him. I think the whole MHP party was here.
Yes,
they participated. They participated everywhere because, you know, during Akinci's elections, this party was very active, more than AKP, MHP party. So I don't think that they have the difference on the policies regarding Varosha or the others. So
all the focus was on Tatar and Erdogan yesterday. Visibility of Bahçeli was not there. So there was some confusion about whether or not he was there, or he joined later, or he left earlier, etc. So I wanted to get clarification about this. But let's stay again during the visit. There were, as far as I see, two major messages that came from Erdogan and Tatar. One was about two-state solution, and the other one was about the properties that, according to Erdogan, could be returned if the applicants apply for the commission about properties, lost properties or seized properties. So these two messages at the same time came, and I want your analysis about this. What do these messages say to us?
It is completely two different subjects. Two subjects. I know when I am a little bit surprised when Erdogan said that, and also acknowledge the rights of 1974 owners of Varosha properties. This is very important. And I think the most important point yesterday was this point, because he declared that Turkey is ready to give the properties not to Evgaf, not to Vakıflar, because there is a confusion who is the real yesterday he declared that he will accept to give these properties to their real and their owners that they left in 1974. This is I think all these negative things this is the only positive outcome. Because yesterday's in his speech, he made it very clear on this, because of the decision of European Human Rights Court. At the beginning, a year ago, when this Varosha case started to be discussed in the media and the hearing, then the local government took a decision to go there and to make, to count the buildings and this and that. I wrote an article about this because there was some developments regarding the Human Rights Court decisions. A big threat for Turkey, because it is millions of pounds Turkey had to pay to these owners. There was only five cases before this court regarding the Varosha issue. So the project, one side they are showing that they are opening Varosha, but the real reason is that they have to give the properties back to those who had them in 1974. Now there are 338 cases in front of the court, and until the end of December they have to give back some of these properties. Otherwise this court will take another new decision as a sample decision to cover the whole cases and to punish Turkey to pay. I cannot give you exact number, but it is almost £1 billion.
Astronomic.
So this is the force. This is the heavily, you know, pressure on Turkey to take action. So the real reason these openings, these ceremonies are, one side to satisfy the nationalist society of Turkey and even the Cyprus that we are opening, and the other side, the real side, is the decision of European Court. We will see this in coming days, because there is an interview, very important interview, from the lawyer of these families that they went to the court, and this lawyer told the journalists that Turkey written a paper. There is a paper written by Turkey sent to this court and promised that they will do something locally. So local remedy. Go to this Turkey want to take those who went directly to the Strasbourg court, not to go there, but to come locally here and to apply for this to this committee. So this is our expectation. Now we will see more applications, maybe, because it was 200.
Do you think there will be more applications, because there is a trust issue? Maybe some people will have to wait until Strasbourg European Court comes with the verdict, with the ruling.
No. This shows that Turkey give the guarantee to this court that they will give them back. This is for sure. The other thing is, to give them back, there is another condition. Because this Varosha region is under the control of military.
Yes.
It is a military zone. So they need to pass a law from the parliament to put it out and to put it in the law, because the law says that
North Cyprus.
Yes, of course.
Because it is a military zone, doesn't it mean that it is a Turkish Republic soil?
Yes, it is.
There is a different status.
No, no, it is not because here the half of the soil is military zone in here. So you can, they allow you to stay in the military zone, but it is military zone. Anytime they can say, this is military, you cannot stay there. So Mvarosha's status is military zone. And in the law, it says that if a Greek Cypriot has a property in military zone, this will not be the subject of giving the property back if it is under the military zone. So they need now to remove this article from the law and make it, you know, normal soil or unfenced. Now it is a fenced area.
Turn it into from military zone to civilian zone.
Discussion in front of us. And they will do it. I'm sure they will do it.
Yeah, but there is no government.
There is no government, as you said, but in these coming days, Erdogan will fix it. until yesterday, all the members, the MPs of the UBP, were waiting Erdogan to give them any instruction about this. And I am sure they got it.
Okay, I understand. Let's go to the second message, two-state solution. Is it the game changer or is it the end of the negotiations as we know?
You know sometimes I don't. But I don't think that UN Secretary General will have more wish or more will to do this. I saw that UN Secretary General is reluctant because he had Anastasiadis and Akıncı in Berlin and they did a good business. They make a good compromise and this was the starting point for these five-party negotiations, Berlin Agreement. But now they are not recognizing, Erdogan and Tatar are not recognizing Berlin Agreement. They are not recognizing the outcomes of Transmontana. They are not recognizing all these things. So at the table, it will be another problem for Turkey's side.
Anastasiadis also said that I am not going to continue from where I left with Akıncı. He also said that.
Yeah, he said it because Transmontana is another thing. Berlin is another thing. Akıncı was saying we will continue from Berlin. Anastasiadis was saying we will continue from Transmontana. These are some different things. But if Akıncı was there, for sure they had to do it because there is a very big, clear new paper from UN Secretary General. So UN Secretary General is very... We made many clarifications on the papers on Transmontana. And there are some six principles from UN Secretary General. So there was no way out from Anastasiadis if Akıncı was there. But this time, as you see, there is a big change also in Anastasiadis' behavior. He's very happy. He's very comfortable now. He get rid of Akıncı. He has in front of him a man who never sit at the table to negotiate Cyprus problem, Mr. Tatar. And he has no knowledge about even the Cyprus problem. He thinks everything is, everywhere belongs to Turks and something like this. So, he's very lucky. I'm talking about Anastasiadis. He's very lucky to have this kind of negotiator. So that now Erdogan and his team are trying to give him more support to appoint some new elements in the team. The old team members that they were advocating the two-state solution with Denktaş, like Olgun Üstün, like Osman Ertuğ. These are all in charge now with Tatar.
The old team is back.
So, as in 2003, you may remember that Denktash was supporting or trying to put it on the table the two-state solution, and UN Secretary General Annan was rejecting, and he put in his even his report 3 April 2003. It was in the UN Security Council resolutions, one of them, and mentioned this, that we lost 4 years because of these two-state solution. Now, Tatar is saying that this two-state solution is a new idea, which is not. This is one of the big troubles that we will see in front of us. But let me tell you something about Anastasiadis' position, because Anastasiadis generally, if you remember the term of Mr. Dervish Eroğlu while he was the leader, she was putting some conditions in front of Dervish Eroğlu, not to sit at the table. Always he was like this, Mr. Anastasiadis. Now he's very flexible. He's saying Turkey is doing, you know, he's protesting Turkey's actions in East Mediterranean. But despite all these things, we are ready to sit at the table, he said. So it shows that he will be flexible because he has a Mr. No in front of him. So it's very easy. And so you cannot believe he is very, very flexible in these days, Mr. Anastasiadis. He is ready to sit at the table, but he says that he can never discuss the two-state solution, which is correct for them and for the United Nations Security Council resolutions. So in these coming days, the head of UN Secretary will, you know, we will see this hesitation in front of us. And she will send an envoy to Cyprus in these coming days. Madame Lut is in charge, as you know, from before. She will come. She will visit the two sides, and maybe United Secretary, maybe UN Security Council will take another decision about this. So correct thing is not to have any hope about the federal solution or even the negotiations. I'm not so optimistic.
Do you think Erdogan's end game is with North Cyprus? What is the end game?
You know,
annexation or sustainable negotiation crisis.
No. I don't think that Erdogan wants any brother state or brother administration in the north of Cyprus, because he shows this. Even yesterday, the opening of the hospital, because Turkey built a hospital here, a pandemic hospital, and he opened this hospital with around 20 MPs and the members of his cabinet, and there was not any Turkish Cypriot in the picture. So I wrote all these things, that they put some, you know, figures as a to show that, hey, we are doing it together. No, I'm not alone. But as you see, his position, he was the speaker, he was the announcer of the ceremony himself. And he was showing that I am the boss. One sample for this, he said, we have to have 5 dunums property and 2 residential palace for Qatar. So you remember that he said to Akinji, even the chair and the table that you are sitting is the, you know, it is the achievement of Turkey. Turkey gave you this. So he's going now to build this palace to give some opportunities to his obedient servant, and then if one day they quarrel, to have the chance to say, everything belongs to us. So you are a visitor there. And this day will come. It will not go. You know, the authoritarians think that things are going in their good times. But one day, even your obedient servants, they finish. We have many examples. We have Davutoğlu, we have Gül, the others. They were all obedient servants. Mm. But one day, they say no to him. So...
Well, as you began this interview, comedy, but it's in many ways also a tragicomedy. And one final question to you, Hasan: How was Erdogan received in North Cyprus? Welcomed, or is the community now sharply divided? What about this visit? Or this visit divided it even more, or unified? How do you see that?
Dear Yavuz, this is the most important point of this visit. He doesn't care about the sensitivities of the Turkish Cypriots. And this makes me very unhappy. As a motherland, we have different views, but even if there is a motherland there, he's actions, his approach to the Turkish Cypriots from the beginning, not even now, it was not so polite. It was always, you know, in a very bad positions. Yesterday, he showed this in many behaviors. Turkish Cypriots yesterday, I can say this correctly, Turkish Cypriots were not presented in these ceremonies. Turkish Cypriots are not accepted to build a picnic, to make a picnic on the sadness of the others. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that yesterday there was no Turkish Cypriots there in the picnic case. Of course, there are many that they are ready to, you know, work together with AKP or Erdogan, but generally the settlers were there. Mm. And all these members of those who are following Erdogan's visit, there was no so much Turkish Cypriots. And also the left-wing parties of Turkish Cypriots, yesterday at the same time, they protested this.
There was a
demonstration. 2-3 different demonstrations. Mm. And it was very crowded, the demonstration. Generally, unfortunately, though the crowds were all the youngers. This shows that Turkish Cypriots are not ready to accept this big division, because you know, from the 18th of October, there is a big division in this society. In one side, Turkish settlers, because of the election results. Also, the election results show that Turkish origin people that they are here easily can be manipulated from AKP. Unfortunately, even the community of Alevis, the community of Kurdish people, even these two communities that last elections, they completely supported Mr. Akinci, they moved to the other side because of the threats of AKP. It was a huge threat against them. So they achieved a big scenario or game now to make these people, this society, to separate them, to split them into two. Mm-hmm. And this will be the most dangerous thing in our future political discussions, because all the political parties, even the left-wing parties, mainly they have to focus on this. Mm-hmm. They mainly have to make new links with these people. I'm talking about those who are coming. They came from Turkey. But the other side, there is another project, because there are some 20,000 people, workers, Turkish origin workers, that they are waiting for citizenship. And we know that any kind of new government, the first duty for them that, you know, imposed by Ankara is 20,000 people will be new citizens. So if you think about our next elections, Turkish Cypriots and also the society, the part of this portion of that they can manipulate and they can work with them, will be equal. 100,000 Turkish Cypriots originally and 100,000 the Turkish origin people. This is the main danger in front of us.
Okay.
And this is this is what I am always saying to my Greek Cypriots, that we miss all the chances in these recent years.
Opportunities lost. And let's end this pessimistic note. My colleague from North Cyprus, Hasan Kahvecioğlu. Hasan, thank you very much for this analysis, this interesting visit by Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdoğan to North Cyprus. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you.
Ahval podcastlerini tüm mobil telefonlarda Spotify, SoundCloud ve Spreaker üzerinden dinleyebilirsiniz. Apple iPhone kullanıcıları bize iTunes üzerinden de ulaşabilir. Türkiye'nin ve hayatın cıvıl cıvıl sesleri Ahval Podcast dizisinde. Kulağınız bizde olsun.